Joshua's right after Deuteronomy, if you're flipping around and a little lost, maybe. You know, it's actually the worst when you're in front of people and you can't find your place. That's the worst, but I'm not having that this morning. Joshua chapter 24, which is the last chapter of Joshua, and we're looking at verses 2 through 15 today. Kind of a conclusion to this book of Joshua. If you know about Joshua, he was alongside of Moses, and when Moses died, he took over the reign, the leadership of Israel, leading them into the promised land, leading them through a lot of different things throughout this book. And we come here to the end of Joshua 24, and it really gives us a good challenge, especially if you're a dad or a man, a leader of some sort. And so that's where our angle is with this passage today. Joshua 24, starting in verse 2, says, "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.'" You may have heard this poem before, a little Father's Day poem for you. It's called "Walk a Little Slower, Daddy," author is unknown. And it goes like this: "Walk a little slower, Daddy, said the child so small. I'm following in your footsteps and I don't want to fall. Sometimes your steps are very fast, sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little slower, Daddy, for you are leading me. Someday when I'm all grown up, you're what I want to be. Then I will have a little child who want to follow me, and I would want to lead just right and know that I was true. So walk a little slower, Daddy, for I must follow you." A good poem reminding us, especially fathers or dad figures, that your role is incredibly important. You know what I find for a lot of us is that oftentimes we downplay that a lot, and we don't think that it's that big of a deal, that we don't have that much of an impact, or that it's not a huge influence in our role. Well, it's maybe mom who is around at home, she takes care of the kids, and I just provide the food and make sure they're okay. Maybe you felt like that before, if you're a man. And I want to challenge you today to not overlook your role as a father, to realize that what you do matters. That the roles that God gives, not just to fathers in here, but also to every one of you,
matters. It does matter. It makes a difference. Whether you see it or not, it makes a difference. And if I can give you the shortest challenge right at the moment, I would say to you, show up. Show up to your roles. Be the dad that God created you to be. You know, being a pastor, it's the same thing. Sometimes in the past, when I've gone through some really difficult things with church problems, I've wondered at the end of some of those places, did anything I did even matter? And when you get to that place and you've concluded that it doesn't matter, that is the end of it for you. There is nothing more depressing than thinking that what you do has no purpose to it. And I want to encourage you today, if you're a dad, that what you do matters, that if you're a mom and your husband's around, to encourage him to be a good dad. If your child is a dad, I want you to encourage him. Or if there's another male figure in your life that you can see that can need encouragement, and just about every man who is a dad needs encouragement, encourage them today and beyond to step up to their role, to be the man God's called them to be. Looking at the legacy of a godly father from Joshua 24, 2 through 15, some of the principles we can draw from this passage on being a godly father. If you've got your notes, just follow along with me with this. Godly fathers remember and remind their families of the faithfulness of God. If you go into my house, and even I sometimes forget where it's at, but we have a jar in our house, and we've had it for a while. And this jar has all these rocks in it. And on the rocks, they're like these black rocks. And we got a silver Sharpie. And we would write down things that happened that we saw God doing. I think Littleton is one of those rocks. These other ministries we've had were those rocks. Children and relationships, meeting people, all sorts of things are written out on these rocks. And they are written there so that we can sometimes remember when we really need that encouragement. Don't forget that God did a lot of great things in your past. Is it easy to forget what God has done? Very, very easy to forget. Very easy to also focus on the negatives in your life so much that you lose sight of the things God has done, even in some of those negative places. Sometimes my mind thinks back to some negative places I've been, and all I can think about is the bad things that happened to me. And I fail to see all the wonderful things that happened in the midst of those bad times too. And I want to encourage you with that you would be mindful to think of the positives. Paul says, forgetting the things which lie behind. Now he says that in relationship to all of his pedigree, if you want to put it that way, for all the things he did to earn righteousness that never did it. But in a lot of ways, when you look at your past, you need to be mindful to not dwell on the negative so much. Boy, that's a message we need to hear right there, isn't it? To not constantly just dwell on them and hash them out and replay them over and over and over. You know how I could say that? Because I've played them over and over and over, and I've gone over them so many times, and I've just analyzed and analyzed and analyzed. Oh, why did this happen? Well, maybe it was this, maybe it was that. If you're a godly father or you have that role, if you know a man in your life, I want to encourage you to remind him of this number one point. Godly fathers remember and remind their families of the faithfulness of God. When things get tough in your life, you need to point your kids and your wife to the fact that God has been very good to us. God has done a lot of great things to us. When a church may hit some problems, it's important for us many times to remember how many things God has accomplished in this church. And he has. Maybe you met him here. Maybe you got convicted about something and God really changed something in your life here. And sometimes when we have some issues that make things that becomes the focus, we lose sight of these other things that we loved, that God did. In this passage, God is setting up a resume. If you're a kid and you don't know what that word means, it just means what he's done for work. My resume is longer than I would like it to be. Maybe you're like that. We've been married now for 11 years, almost 12 this year, And we have moved 11 times in 11 years. And our average length of stay in the last 10 years, or 11 years, these places has been about a year and a half to 2 years. I'm tired of moving. I want to stay here because I'm tired of moving. And in that time, I have had a lot of things on my resume. I have mowed for a camp for an entire summer, 70 hours, I think it was like 60 or 70 hours a week, sitting on a mower mowing up at Iowa Regular Baptist Camp. I have worked as a burial vault maker. I have worked at construction. I have worked in many places. I've been in different churches in that time too. But God knows who he is. Do you know that? God knows who he is. So when he is working with you, it's not like he has to prove to himself that he's faithful. But because you and I struggle to trust him and believe him, God builds a resume with us. Did you know that? He builds a resume with you because he's trying to help you to trust him. And so he does a lot of things in your path. You may notice them. You may not notice them. You may have answered prayers. You may have things that are answered that you never prayed about that God does. And God is setting up a resume to you that he is worth your attention. He is worth your time. He is worth your worship. Inherently, he is, but he also has proven it to you and to me over and over and over and over again, right? That he is worth our worship. He has been so good to us. And so in this passage of Joshua 24, he's saying this, look, even when you go back to Abraham and I led you guys and I brought you into these lands, I pushed people out of lands for you. You had enemies and I took care of them, didn't I? And I took care of you and made sure that you had your needs met. Now in this room, we've all been in different places with needs, but has anyone in here ever said, can any of you say, I have never gotten through a season of my life? I got to that place and I thought I was going to make it and I just died. That was it. No, okay? You see, God takes care of us for the time he has for us. And none of us can say, oh, he has not been good to me. And it doesn't matter what you have been through, this, it still stands true. God has been good to you. So looking at this, if you've got your sheet, God set up a resume of his faithfulness to the Israelites, what he brought them out of. I brought you out of a place of desolation. And by the way, remember that wilderness thing that you went through for 40 years? I brought you out of that. I brought you out of this place of being slaves to Egypt. And you love that. In fact, many of you liked it so much that you wanted to go back when you got near the Red Sea because you thought it'd be better to go back. But I knew what was best for you, and it led you, right? Because he shows that he did those things. He also reminds them of what he brought them into. I brought you into this place called the Promised Land. I brought you into a place where you are taken care of. Are you needy? Are you scared? Do you have enemies that are just totally taking you out? No. He also set up a resume as to what they were like before his presence with them. You remember what you were like before God came into your life? See, they forgot about that many times. And I would remind you and myself today, who would you be if it wasn't for him? You may not be what you would like to have been by this time in your life, if you're like me, but where would you have been if it hadn't been for him? He reminds them, what were you like before I came in? And I would remind you today, too, what were you like before he came in that picture? You were pretty sorry. And God changed that. And the praise is due him for what has happened in your life. Lastly, here he sets up the resume as to what they were like after his presence with them. You know what you were like if you really think about what you came out of, but you also see what you're like now. You know who that's attributed to? It is attributed to him. Dads, remind your families that this is the God we serve. Let's not forget the good he has done. Because that role is very important right there. It is very easy. It would be very easy in the home for your kids to get distraught, for your wife to get distraught, and for you just to let that take the scene and to not speak into it. And your role here, in a very powerful way, is to speak truth into that and say, remember the good. Remember the good. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Because God has been good to us. You know, one of the biggest roles I have as a pastor, I think, too, is reminding the people in my church, don't forget the good. Don't forget the good, because you may be tempted to do that. You may be tempted to think about the negatives, but don't forget the good that God has done. In doing so, it wasn't that he was proving his character to himself, but to them, to help them to trust. God knows who he is, don't you think? God knows who he is, but you don't seem to get that, and I don't seem to get that. And he is working overtime to help you to trust, to help you to know he is who he says he is. Godly fathers, remember and remind their families of the faithfulness of God. Answer me this today. Has God been faithful to you? The answer is yes. Dads, remind your wives and your children of that. Huge role. Secondly, number two, godly fathers follow the example that God has given to them. Now, I could read over those verses again from verses 2 through 13, but I will just remind you and paraphrase here, essentially, that God is, number one, faithful to those under his care. See, that's not just about God, though, because he's also showing us that those who are godly, those who take care of their families, they do these things. So if you're a dad, one of your calls is to be faithful to your family, faithful to leading them, even when you don't feel like it. And oftentimes we may not feel like it. I just want to go home and rest. I just want to relax and check out. And God is calling us to be faithful like him, faithful to your family. Secondly, God is loving and looking out for the best of his children and even those who are not. You know, that an unsaved world out there is still benefiting from a loving God. And he's still offering. But even if they don't believe, they're still benefiting from his presence. But what about you, Dad? Are you loving your family and looking out for their best interests, for your wife and your children? Is that obvious? And even people who aren't your family, do they benefit from your presence in their lives? Does your job benefit from you being around? Do you make the places you touch better? Does your family better as a result of your work with them, your loving them? Maybe it hasn't, but I want to encourage you. It's never too late to start. It's never too late to just make that a goal now. You know, just be like this. Number three, God is selfless in his care. He's thinking first and foremost of those people that he's dealing with. That seem to not really want to be on board anyway. You know, I was a hockey player, and it always eluded me as to why enforcers were a good thing. You know, enforcers, the guy who gets in the fights a lot. But I've been watching a lot of documentaries on hockey lately, and one thing that's interesting is that players will tell you time and again that the most selfless person on a team is the enforcer, because he will stick his nose in there, and he will get beat up if he has to for the sake of the rest of the team. And that's what your team dads need, is a guy who's willing to stick his nose in there and get hurt there to protect them. Number four, God doesn't do it for what he gets out of it in the moment, but because he is gracious, merciful, and long-suffering. See, God only got complaints and rejection in a lot of ways, but he was in it for the long term as to what would this accomplish down the road. And you see, your kids today may totally not like what you're saying into their life, right? Has that ever happened to you? Because if you're a parent or if you've had children around you, you know this is true, right? Well, that's because you're thinking about the long term. You got to think about the long term with what you're doing. This is not about how you feel about it right now. This is about how you turn out and what happens to you. And that's the only reason you will ever be firm if you just want to play it safe. The only reason you would be firm with people, the only reason you would do things they don't like and be unpopular, is because you look at the long term about what this might accomplish, not the short term that I am unpopular at the moment. We looked at this last Sunday night in our Bible study. We read a passage where Paul says, talks about godly sorrow. He says, I regretted that I made you sorry for a little while, but in the long run, I am not sorry that it made you sorrowful because it led you to repentance. And sometimes you and I say things that we are like, I wish I hadn't done that, right? I wish I hadn't have said that because I thought I was helping, but it just made things worse. You've got to look at the long term and see that maybe God will actually use this. Maybe God led you to do this. Fathers, a challenge to you. Number five, he doesn't let those under his care suffer needlessly. And he listens well, even when his people do not. That's what God did with the Israelites in the wilderness. But it is still a challenge, even as he's an example. Obviously, we're never going to be entirely like God, okay? I understand that. But to follow that, to be godly, to try to be like the Lord who leads us, is to not let those under our care suffer needlessly. Sometimes people do need to suffer. Sometimes your children need to suffer the consequences of a choice that has not been good. They need to feel some of the weight of that, and that's okay. You don't need to always stop everything from hitting them. It's good if they forget to bring their homework, that sometimes they just need to fail today, perhaps. There's a lot of things that we need to let them experience, and that sometimes is hard for us. But suffering needlessly is the issue. And listening well. Dads, men in here, have you ever been accused of being selective in your hearing? What did I say? Some of you need me to repeat that, right? Listening well. You know, a pastor that I talk to that kind of counsels me from time to time, he's about 60 years old. He grew up in Louisiana, down near Alexandria. Yep. And anyway, Paul is his name, and he blows me away because he hardly says a word to me. He just asks questions. He doesn't tell me what to do. And it kind of throws me off because I'm like, tell me something to do here. And he just listens and just asks questions. And I'm usually figuring it out by him asking the questions. Dads, good challenge to you, to me too, is listen well. Work to listen. Remember the old thing that you got two ears and one mouth? So listen twice as hard as you speak. Really listen. Really listen. It will go a long ways if you listen to your kids and not just have them talk at you. But listen to who they are. Listen to what they want. Listen to their hearts. Number six, he provides for the prosperity of those under his care when that is what is best for them. Sometimes we conclude that God is not about ever putting us in a decent position. I'm not here to preach prosperity gospel so much to you, but I am here to tell you that when it's something he deems necessary, that maybe that's what you need for right now, then he might do that. You see, the Israelites, they went through a stage where they actually came into a land where things were good. Now, they didn't handle it well, did they? They couldn't handle it. They kept going in a cycle of being close to God and getting away from him. But God, at times, showed them great prosperity and really took care of them. You know, I've said it before, but you're all rich. I want to remind you of that. You are all rich. It's just a question of how. Maybe you think money when you think of rich. And I want to tell you, it's not money that makes a person rich, but it's the things God has entrusted to them that makes them rich. Maybe you're rich in experience. Maybe you're rich in difficulty. Now, that's for real. Maybe you are rich in difficulty and you know the hard road. And that is powerful to be rich in that way too, because not everybody has been rich in that way and knows how to speak into those kinds of situations. And so speaking from the richness of that, I'm a pastor, and most pastors I know are not rich. But they are rich in terms of perhaps a relationship with God, perhaps knowledge of the Bible and being able to be there for people. That's rich, all right? So I want to ask you today, how are you rich? Not are you rich, but how are you rich? And capitalize on that, and out of graciousness to others, be rich towards them from your riches. Fathers, do this. Number seven, he leads. God leads and is firm when he needs to be, and he is soft and compassionate when that is needed as well. And what a challenge to you and to me too, to be firm when we need to be, but also soft and compassionate when our children or wives need that too. Because people need all different types of responses. It just depends on the moment. It just depends on what they're going through. And dads, that is part of listening too, is knowing what is appropriate at the time and how you deal with your family. Number eight, that we confront sinful problems, and God certainly does that in this passage and other passages. He is also quick to forgive and to embrace. You know, if we were like that, right, guys? Not only calling things out, but also being so quick to forgive and to embrace, because we live in a world where grace to others is not often found, where people are often cold, where you've done me wrong, and that's that, and I'm not talking to you again, we're done. And this person may even want to make things right, and I would challenge you, be willing to forgive quickly, be willing to give your love out, and that takes vulnerability to do that. Number three, godly fathers take a stand on who they follow and guide their families in that. Verses 14 and 15, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. That's the call from this passage. God says, look at all the things I have done. Am I not worthy of your time? Am I not worthy of your attention? Am I not worthy of your worship? Absolutely I am. And the call from that is fear the Lord, serve him. And he's really speaking to the leaders, because in verse 1, it's talking to the elders of Israel, their heads, their judges, and their officers. These are men. He's saying the leader of the house needs to be reminded, choose who you're going to serve. On the basis of God's faithfulness in verse 14, the call is to fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity, and put away false idols. Stop living for other things. Your time is very limited, dad, mom, kid. Your time is very limited, and you need to choose what you're about. Verse 15 provides the irony. If it seems wrong to you or evil to you to follow God, if you don't want to make a decision on who you follow, then choose who you're going to serve, God says. Obviously, it points us to the fact that we can't serve God and false gods. You can only choose one. You cannot serve both. You cannot live for all these other things out here and God at the same time. You have to choose who you're about. We have to choose who we're about, and that is the legacy we leave as dads. You know, kids always remember this about their dads. What was he about? They always do. They know, you know, what your father was about, what was priority in his life. We can say really nice things at funerals and so forth, but in our hearts, we know what a person is really about. What legacy are you leaving? Because your children are looking to you. The other people in this room are looking to you as well. Are you going to live for him? Are you going to live for something else? In following God, we turn out to be better dads, leaders, laborers, husbands, grandpas, and citizens. It affects everything when you choose to put God as the one you follow. If you want to make an impact in the role God's given you, then choose him. Simply put, there's a man on the beach, and he is walking around picking up starfish, and this whole beach, as far as the eye can see, is covered in starfish. This man's picking them up one at a time. He's throwing them out into the water to put them back in the water. This other guy comes up and sees him and says, what are you doing? He says, I'm rescuing them. And the guy says, there is no way you're going to get all of these starfish. How can this matter? And the man reaches down, he picks up one starfish, he throws it in, and he says, it matters to that one. Let me remind you that your role as a dad matters. That what you do matters. That your presence matters. That you being here matters. That you may not think much of it at times, but it matters what you do. And your kids are looking at you. Your wives are looking at you. And they're taking their cues from you. And you may downplay who you are in your role, but God looks at it very highly to give you that position of a dad or a husband. Very highly. Even to be just a man in this world is a major role. And I would challenge you with that today as you look at Joshua 24. Choose what you're about. But please remember, dads, that your role matters. And it doesn't come to a place where it stops mattering. You don't get old and your kids are grown and it doesn't matter anymore. It always matters the man you are. It always matters because you are in a place of influence. So please don't give up on that. I would challenge you today to put yourself into it as much as you can. Encourage the men in your life to be that too. Step up and lead. Step up and be who we know you can be in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would just help the men in this church to be leaders to their families. Lord, help them to consider, and help me too, to consider what we do, that people are looking, that we are giving cues as to what life is about, and we are leading, Lord, many times whether we like it or not. I pray that you'd help us to do that. Lord, we thank you for the role of fathers. I thank you for my father. I thank you for the many men in this room. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.